Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Toll Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, 10-8, on duty, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, serving the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady, Our Queen Mother, and in the service of St. Michael the Archangel. Eddie, are you 10-8?
Yes, I'm 10-8. I'm on duty, and I'm ready to give some good Catholic intel to some of the people that tune into to VMPR, especially Jesus 911 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Amen. You were missed last week, so the audience was asking for you. I just tell them, hey, Eddie's out there doing apostolic work, man. This is not the only thing he does.
That's right. Exactly. And you know what? We had a great retreat in the mountains, and we're back and ready to get going here.
Praise God. Okay, Eddie, we're going to look at an article, which to me, it reveals a lot. It's a very dark article. For those of you that want to get it, go to vmpr.org or my website, jesseromero.com. You can get the link. But Eddie, give a description of what's in this article before we start going through it and giving some catechesis and spiritual warfare intel.
Just what this article highlights is the Latino culture, specifically Mexican Americans. It illustrates and highlights the fact that the dark arts, the satanic occult, occultism lives within the Mexican culture, and specifically we're talking about what's termed here as a black mass that occurs in Veracruz. I think it's annually, and Jess, you know what? This is something that we should all be concerned about, but specifically us Latinos.
Because it affects us, Eddie.
Absolutely does, and it affects everything. So let's go ahead and start this. This is good.
Yeah, let me tell you how serious this is. Every year, you know, in Los Angeles, they have a big Congress called the LA Religious Education Congress. You get like 40,000 people, and people go, that's another topic in itself. But the point that I'm making, by way of analogy, in Mexico, they have their own satanic conference. And this is what we're going to talk about. And Satanists from all over the world go there, like for their RE Congress, you know, to get discipled and mentored on how to become better Satanists, Luciferians, witches, and shamans. And then this is exported throughout the world. But it affects us, Eddie, because, again, it affects us. It's all the barrios in the southwest of the United States is directly impacted by this show that we're about to do today.
Absolutely, Jason. You know, one of the things that I noticed, because we're going to go through, we'll describe some of the pictures that they show on this article, is that there is some now this is happening in Veracruz, Mexico. However, you could see people that are dressed in American apparel, just that are from the United States, that trip out there. This is concerning because they're bringing it back here to exactly what you said, the poor areas of the Southwest.
Eddie, can you lead us into St. Michael before we go through the article?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, through the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl around the world, seeking the ruin and destruction of souls. Amen.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph, terror of demons,
pray for us.
All right, let's go, 10-8.
All right, so I'm going to start.
The article says here on top, Eddie says, yeah. The blood pumped from a still beating heart is the purest form of energy inside the horrific Mexican Satanists, black mass with life sacrifices that shock, disgust, and tours. By the way, it's going to be graphic what we're going to say. So if kids are listening to the radio, maybe this is the program that you may want to remove them from. Don't let them listen to the show. It's up to you. Just use your discretion, mom and dad, because we're going to be talking about Satanism and some of the details that happen within these satanic cults and their liturgical services. So I would probably venture to say that there's a certain age range that I wouldn't allow kids to listen to what we're about to say because it's graphic.
Right. Let's start off with the first entry here, Jess. It says, horrified tourists have told their shock and disgust after attending a devil worshiping black mass in Mexico. They looked on as chickens and goats were sacrificed before their flesh blood was poured over participants who had pledged their souls to Satan.
Wow.
This is what's going on there, Jess. This is reality. At the Twisted Cult's annual Black Mass, yes, it is an annual Black Mass, in the Mexican state of Veracruz, people from across the world seek change in their lives by taking part in devil worship. Worshippers indulge in brutal animal sacrifice and dance before burning pentagrams and disappear into a subterranean cave where solemn oaths are sworn before a large statue of the devil and a committee of shamans.
Let's analyze that, yeah, that right there. Let's break it down for the folks. Again, the Black Mass is the exact opposite of the Catholic Mass. Satanists know which is the true form of worship on planet Earth. It's not Islam, it's not Judaism, it's not Protestantism. It's the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
And
this is an inversion of the true worship that's supposed to be rendered to God, given to us by his son, Jesus Christ.
Justin, this is something that happens that has the same concepts as the Catholic Mass. There's sacrifice, there's the ingesting of the blood, there's the body of the victims. So there's some like you said, it's the exact opposite of what we do on Sunday.
It's liturgical, it's sacramental, it has like a physicality, like we have the sacraments.
Yes.
It's not like a Protestant service. Protestants are always singing, raising their hands, got the preacher cracking jokes, saying stuff. No. The satanic liturgy parallels the Catholic Mass because they know which is the real McCoy. And where it says there, fresh blood was poured over the participants who had pledged their souls to Satan. There it is. These people are, this is called a subjugation or a pact to Satan. This is the Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, and many other Satanists, in the Southwest, here in the U.S., that's exactly what they've done. And I know people that have done this, by the way. It's kind of like what we do in the Catholic Mass. The blood of Jesus pours over us through the Mass, but it actually comes in us in the Eucharist. And another thing, Eddie, on the third sentence that you read there, it's not a coincidence that this is being done, this international satanic conference is being done in Veracruz. The word Veracruz means true cross. It's not a coincidence that the Satanists picked the state that's called the true cross to give their conferences on how to become better devil worshipers. And in fact, Hernando Cortes, when he came to the new land from Spain, the conquistadores, guess what state he arrived at with his ships? He arrived at the beaches in the state of Veracruz. He got off the boat, and what did he do? He had a cross, and he plunged it into the sand of the beach and claimed the entire Americas for Jesus Christ. That's why it's called Veracruz, the true cross. And the last point I'll make is where it says, where you read about the brutal animal sacrifice, dancing before burning pentagrams and disappearing into subterranean caves. Solemn oaths, God says, let your yes mean yes and no mean no. The solemn oaths, and this is why the Catholic Church doesn't allow people to become, for example, Masons and stuff, because they and Mormons, because these solemn oaths are prohibited by God, and this animal sacrifice and dancing during pentagrams, this is exactly what the pagans would do in the Old Testament. Just think about Exodus 32, the Israelites dancing before the golden calf. Eddie?
Jess, one of the things we have to understand with this situation here that's going on in Veracruz is, number one, the best case scenario, Jess, is that these people are spiritually lost, they're uncatechized, they know there's something going on there, and they want to be a part of it. Unfortunately, Jess, this is also problematic because it invites demonic activity into their lives. So it's, you know, there's no criteria that you have to understand precisely what's going on at this Black Mass. As long as you participate, as long as you're there, as long as you witness it, you are in danger of inviting demons into your life. And just the worst case scenario is that it's people that are simply willing and anxious to participate in devil worship. That's what this is.
Yeah. Eddie, the pictures, I just make the sign of the cross every time I see them. They're horrible. It shows that a screaming goat had his throat slit at the Black Mass in the state of Veracruz. It shows it in detail. The next picture, One witness said they weren't just sacrificing these animals, they were torturing them first. Another one says participants danced before giant burning pentagrams before they pledged their souls to Satan. We're just describing the pictures to you. Another one says the fresh blood of chickens and goats were gathered in a bronze bowl poured over our participants. I just want to say a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, protect our senses, protect our eyes, Lord, as we do this program. Protect Eddie and myself and everybody else out there, Lord, as we speak the truth in love, Lord, and just protect us from any diabolical retaliation. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I mean, just one of the things I want to mention is that you mentioned torturing these victims. Well, guess what? That's exactly what I happened to look at this weekend was the Stations of the Cross, the actual sacrifice that Christ made. So they're sacrificing these animals to mimic and mock the fact that Jesus was mocked when it came to the passion and working for our salvation. This is something that's just... we need to keep talking about it because it's not going to go away. That's for sure.
Yeah, this is a mockery of the passion of the Christ. Jesus Christ, when he came, he's the Lamb of God. Nobody else needs to be tortured and crucified and have their throat slit. Christ came to die for everybody, for the sins of the world, the redemption of the human race. And all of these animal sacrifices or even human sacrifices, this is just a mockery of the once and for all sacrifice that Jesus Christ performed for us 2,000 years ago. Nobody else needs to be tortured. Nobody else needs to be killed. What was done by Jesus Christ is perfect and sufficient for the redemption of the human race.
Just the atonement for our sins has been accomplished.
Amen.
All right, we'll be back. Don't go away. Grab a cup of tea or coffee and come back and hear some more information about...
But don't look at the pictures.
That's right. Don't look at the pictures. Be right back.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, giving you some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefing. We're your team leaders. Eddie Chavez, myself, Jess Romero, and we are sharing with you probably the darkest topic that we've ever done so far on Jesus 9-1 in terms of spiritual warfare. It's really, to me, Eddie, it really is uncovering the roots of where the occult is coming from, like a tidal wave. It's coming from Mexico proper into the Southwest. Now, I don't know where Satanism, witchcraft, and the occult is coming when it comes to the Midwest and the East Coast. I think that's a different problem. But I know the Southwest states that have a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Hispanic Catholics, and there's botanicas and there's occult shops everywhere. It's very obvious from this article. We know now where they're being discipled from, where they're being mentored from, and where they're being sent from.
Jess, I remember working the working MacArthur Park area back in the day, and we were doing undercover investigations and actually buys and stuff at botanicas and stuff. And the funny thing people have to know is these are not innocent little statuettes that they're selling, Jess. What's happening behind the counter is they have altars of sacrifice to some of the gods that occurred, that they consider to be gods, a small g, behind the counter, in the back rooms of these places. Some of the things that they're selling there have already been cursed. I mean, there's no way to know that for sure. But the reality is it happens in many of these little botanicas that are MacArthur Park. When we were doing these investigations just for documents, for illegal immigrants, to get them across the border so that they could ultimately bring some of that here to the United States. That's problematic. And, I'm not sure how much more that's being done now.
Eddie, I think that the devil's, here's a macro look at all this. The devil's always hated Mexico in particular because I think it was Pope Pius XII. He said, Mexico's the only country in the world that the Blessed Virgin Mary left physical evidence that she came to earth.
Yes.
So the fact that Pope Pius XII said Mary, her feet touched earth, touched that ground. It's like it's forever consecrated Mexico. And Mexico became Christendom for centuries. But it's like terrorists, Eddie. Islam has this teaching that when they've conquered a country, even though they lose it, they'll say, no, it's ours forever because we were there before we conquered it. So we're going to get it back. We don't care if it takes us centuries to get it back. That's the way Satan, I believe, operates. He's saying Mexico was ours under the Aztec Empire. Yep. It was taken away from us by the lady, as they'll say, by the lady. And you know what? We're going to get it back because it was once ours. And how are they doing it? They're using low information Catholics that have been secularized, and just they're taking advantage of the poor catechesis from our bishops since Vatican II. I'm just going to have to say it, just to be honest with you. Take away the Baltimore Catechism and give everybody a 3-inch catechism that they're not going to read. How's that, Eddie? With 8-inch font. Okay? Doña Maria and Mrs. Garcia, you think they're going to read the new catechism, Eddie, with 2.5 inches with 8-inch font? Yeah, and throw out the Baltimore Catechism that was very... See, the lack of catechesis now has confused a lot of Mexican Catholics. They think, well, this is the same like Catholicism. They have liturgy, sacrifice, they have chalices, priesthood, because they're not properly catechized. And the fact is, I'm going to put this blame on the feet of the Mexican bishops, Eddie, who are so concerned with social justice and liberation theology instead of catechizing their people. Let's go back to the article. I just had to vent.
No, it's true, Jess, because you know what? The fact is, Our Lady, in the next couple of centuries, saved 9 million souls. And we have to just, the reality is we have to look back at what was going on with the Aztec culture, the Mayan culture. They were sacrificing young virgins, which mentioned in this article, by the way, and children to pagan gods. So once Jesus Christ, the God of Christianity, allowed the Virgin Mary to appear there, okay, gave his permission for that to happen, she saved 9 million souls. She converted Latin America, and the devil was beat down by her. And that's part of the fact that her feet crushes the head of the serpent. And the reality is he's now trying to gain it back, and he's doing it just not. not only there, but he's bringing it now to Northern America, what we're talking about here with this article. So it's
all over
important.
The Southwest, Eddie.
Yeah.
It's all over the Southwest.
Exactly.
You want to continue? You want to continue the article?
Yeah, let's see here. Well, how are you going to see where you were?
It says, They weren't just, it's underneath the picture,
okay, yeah.
Last picture.
They weren't just sacrificing these animals, but they were torturing them first. We talked about that. Visibly shaken by what he had witnessed. We're talking about Randall Sullivan, somebody that witnessed this black mass. It seems as if pain and suffering are part of the experience, and there's no doubt there's a dark power in blood sacrifice. The next step would be human sacrifice, the American told Mail Online, and I frankly think these people have done it. And he's saying that because not that he saw a human sacrifice, just but by the demeanor these people conducted, these animal sacrifices, he believes that they're capable of doing human sacrifice, which would not be allowed there in the country. Even though animal sacrifice has been outlawed, you had a Mexican official saying that they allow it, but he thinks that human sacrifice could have taken place here. It was disgusting, said shocked Michelle Gomez following the gruesome ritual. The fact that they would do that to a defenseless animal is sickening and makes me scared about the lengths which they would go in order to seek the devil, to see the devil. Michelle, who comes from Austin, Texas, was at the ceremony in an attempt to improve her own psychic powers, which she claims have helped her to locate souls of over 100 kidnapped victims. Let me real quick on this. So here's the situation. You have this woman that's trying to get more power so she could help the law enforcement, presumably help law enforcement find kidnapped victims. So I would say this. Now that we know, in talking to some of the Libre Cristo people, that not even rebellious angels know what the future is. However, they know humanity. They can make a very accurate guess as to what the future might bring.
Yeah. That's based on your past behavior.
That's right, and that's one person. That's one way they could reveal this to somebody. And the second way is that if some of these kidnap victims are found murdered, and a black mass or some kind of ritual was conducted before their murder and as part of their murder, then they can reveal that in an evil way to people that are associated with that kind of activity. So either way, Jess, by getting that information, it's not a good sign.
That's right. And this lady, Michelle from Austin, she's already a psychic. She's already serving the devil. And what she's doing by going to this retreat, so to speak, the satanic retreat in Veracruz, she wants to perfect her craft. What she's going to do, she already has demons. She's going to get stronger demons inside her now. And this is called, Malachi Martin calls this perfect possession. When somebody aligns their will with Satan's will, this is what's happening to all the attendees. They're going to go through what's called perfect possession, aligning your will totally through subjugation with the will of Satan. And in the top part where you read where it talks about that they understand the power of blood sacrifice, absolutely, it's a mockery of Christianity because that's the essence of Christianity. Hebrews 9:22, for without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. God knows how powerful blood is to forgive the human race of our sins. And these people here, these Satanists, are just trying to make, but they understand the power of blood because blood, according to Leviticus, is a principle of human life. And so it's, once again, it's an inversion of the truth, Eddie. Can you finish that article off right there?
Yeah, it says, it makes me scared for myself to think I've witnessed this. Well, they should be afraid because they witnessed an evil act that could expose them to demonic activity. It says they need to stop these rituals, she said, with tears in her eyes, besides a burning pentagram which the Satanists had used to summon Beelzebub. If they can kill an animal in the name of purification, what other lengths will they go to? That's it, Jess. That's the reality. What's the limit here? If we're sacrificing animals, which there's plenty of, I mean, there's human beings that...
The only reason they're not sacrificing human beings because there was cameras. They're like, they wanted this one to go viral and hey, let's do a kind of a promotional piece for what we do. But Eddie, when the cameras aren't there, when they say, everybody, leave your cell phones in your car, no cameras, trust me, human beings are being sacrificed. They're in Catemaco, Veracruz. That's what it's called. That's the retreat center for Satanists. Let me describe some of the pictures. There's a shaman. It says Enrique Verdun, who wears a dead anteater on his head, said our black magic stems from Native American Olmeca culture, and we're experts in calling upon the devil and his dark power, who we reject in Jesus' name. Randall Sullivan, Michelle Gomez, they were horrified by what they witnessed. You can just see they got the buckwheat, you know, the buckwheat eyes, you know. Yeah. Next picture says a shaman pours the fresh blood of a chicken onto a worshiper's forehead as part of the dark ceremony. We reject that action in Jesus' name. Be gone, evil spirit, go to the foot of the cross. So, Eddie, this happens in a place called the lakeside town of Catemaco on Mexico's Gulf Coast, which is a destination for many pilgrims who come in search of spiritual experiences. Enrique Vernon organizes the annual mass. Look what they call it, a mass. At his ceremonial gatherings on White Monkey Mountain to the west of the town. Our black magic stems from Native American Olmeca culture, and we are experts in calling upon the devil. They admit it there. There's no shame here. There's no hiding stuff. And his dark power, said Chief Shaman Enrique Vernon, who wears a dead anteater on his head. So you can see that they even have a hierarchy. People come to our devil summoning ceremonies when they want to achieve change in their lives. Eddie, what we would call in Christianity a metanoia, you know,
yeah,
an interior conversion.
It's entire reversal, Jess. That's what it is. And
he told the mail online in his office, decorated with figures of the skeletal Saint Death, pentagrams, and pelts of exotic animals. Some come to ask Satan to give them success in the future. Others come to get over their difficult past. Eddie, the genie's out of the bottle now. Back in when you and I were growing up, we heard about Satanism. Like, hey, did you hear rock and roll guy? He may be a Satanist. Yeah, did you hear, Eddie? There's nothing. In other words,
there's no coverage now. Just
the Wizard of Oz. The curtain has been opened,
right,
and Oz is on full display for the world.
Jason, we have to realize that this is such a huge problem because there's such an influx of Latinos, especially Mexicans, coming from Mexico here, and this is part of our culture. You can't, you know, it shows a picture of Santa Muerte, and I think it might be Jesus Malverde behind this shaman they're talking about, and it gives us an idea of how normal it is for Mexicans to come to this country and go to a botanica, buy a cursed object, and set it up in their homes, and then have to deal with some of the things that are going on. And these are uncatechized Catholics. Just these, like we said before, there's no way we can give them a catechism. First of all, in a language that they're not familiar with, so thick. And the reality is just they're not going to learn the things they need to stay away from evil in this regard.
Yeah. This one picture says, Chief Shaman, which is basically a witch doctor or medicine man, Enrique Verdon said, the blood pumped from a still beating heart is the purest form of energy. That's exactly what the Aztecs were doing 500 years ago. And they're doing it right now in 2020. Lord help us, Virgin most powerful, pray for us. St. Joseph, terror of demons,
pray for us.
St. Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
Eddie, go ahead.
We'll be right back. Don't go away. Don't change that dial.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, A portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Oh, Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, 10-8.
Jess,
what are we talking about, Eddie?
You know, Jess, I want to go into something here because this is something that I saw this weekend with a bunch of teenagers up at a retreat. And this is a fact that the Catholics, I think now, especially Latino Catholics here in the Southwest, are sacramentalized without catechesis. This is the issue. I'm gonna read one of the person's testimonies that went to this evil retreat in Veracruz. It says this: our marriage is failing, and this is something we both have faith in, said Alejandro Montes, shortly before he and his wife smeared the blood of a sacrificed goat over their faces in an attempt to save their relationship. The pair had traveled to Catemeco from Monterrey in northern Mexico in order to pledge their souls to Satan in return for a happy marriage. We've tried everything, and this is our last resort, said Alejandro, whose extramarital affair had strained their union. I'm willing to put my soul on the line to prove my commitment. And why would he follow the commitment he's going to make with goat's blood and think that he didn't keep his commitment to God for being keeping his fidelity? Anyway, it says a total of 8 people underwent the ritual last week. Many witnesses were present at the ceremony, including a number of international tourists who had come to Mexico specifically to witness the Black Mass. Randall Sullivan, a visitor from Portland, Oregon, had heard of the event through his involvement in spiritualistic circles and had come to witness the spectacle. I want to know how these shamans work their magic, he says, before the ceremony. They are only people I've heard of who can mix black and white magic. That's like mixing God and the devil. Jess, in 1 Corinthians 10, 18 to 21, it says we shouldn't eat idol sacrifices and eat at the Lord's altar as well. It's a violation.
Oh, you nailed it. That verse, 1 Corinthians 8, just destroys this entire annual satanic conference, why Catholics can't participate. You just said it right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 8.
And just most of these Latinos are probably Catholic. They have Catholic roots.
Come on, of course they are, brother. They're baptized Catholics at the very least. They baptize their babies right away.
And you know, this is funny, Jess. How nonsensical is this argument that, because the goal of marriage is meant for us as our spouses in a Christian marriage to get the other one to heaven, to get our spouse to heaven. That's our job. Well, the reality is, and that's the epitome of Christian marriage, Jess. But the reality is, they approach the arch enemy of the Christian God to attain a goal that he can't even provide them. It's very nonsensical, but the reality is that's what they're doing.
Yep, they're leading each other to hell, one at a time, and they're doing it, you know, uniting themselves, man and woman, and in getting involved, making a what's called a pact, a diabolical pact with the devil, and
at the same time, Jester, they're doing it in public here. They're doing it in public in Veracruz, so that everybody can know that they're doing this, and that's really the scandal involved here with the Catholic Church. We should actually have a couple of bishops from Mexico go over there and with a helicopter and drop holy water like they
drop
did.
Drop holy water.
That's exactly what they should
surround
do.
Surround this place.
Yep.
Do the bishops doing chapter 2 and chapter 3 with a crucifix in their hand, Eddie. That's what they should be doing. Shame on them staying home when this is going on in their backyard. I'm serious.
Sure. I mean, there's...
Let me describe some pictures here.
Yeah, go for it.
It says the total of 8 satanic priests had come from across Mexico to conduct the ceremony below a full moon. Again, this whole thing about a full moon and the occult. There's this the connection there. It says here, got some ugly people dressed in some of the ugliest masks. It says the lakeside town of Catemaco on Mexico's Gulf Coast is a destination for many pilgrims who come in search of spiritual experiences. Next one, it says mystical. Samuel Casella, an Italian journalist from Milan, said, "I expect to see something incredible tonight." Eddie, you got Italians coming, Portland, Oregon, people from all over the world. This is the annual Satanic How to Become a Better Satanist, Occultist, Clairvoyant conference, and it's being held in the mother country, Mexico, where Hernando Cortez landed.
These people want to play with fire, Jess. I mean, how can you exist in an anti-God environment and think when you get up to the pearly gates that St. Joseph's going to say, "Oh yeah, here's your name, we found it"? It's not going to happen, Jess. These people are standing up in public for the enemy, and yet they're looking for something that God has given us to work towards and to sacrifice for. These guys got it all wrong.
Every one of these attendees is jumping over the trap door of hell. They're pounding, let me in, yep. Unless they repent and have a true metanoia to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. Let's continue. It says here, it's something very mystical, says Samuel Casella, an Italian journalist. I expect to see something incredible tonight. It says, we are all powerful individuals. Some are healers, others are destroyers. Look at, they admit it. Destroyers, that's, by the way, that's the name of Satan in Hebrew. Others are destroyers, said Joyri Ra, a devil worshiper from southern Mexico who wears a necklace made of human finger bones. Tonight we are going to open the portal, which means an entryway, by the way, to another dimension so that those who ask to communicate with Satan will be heard. The ceremony began with a group of teenage girls all dressed in black underwear, carrying the terrified sacrificial offerings along a candlelit path to the main altar. See, that's all emulating Catholicism right there. Okay, all that. Candles, processing to a main altar. Yep. It says a font, again, Catholic, emulation of Catholicism, with burning charcoal onto which the waiting shamans would throw handfuls of putrid herbs. The girls must be virgins and be both mentally and physically pure, said Rosalie Bally, a black witch who uses strong tobacco and piercing screams in her own exorcism ceremonies, for which she charges clients more than $200 an hour. Those who had come to plead their cases to Satan were called forward and ordered to kneel, again, another Catholic posture of prayer, before the shamans, who wrung the necks and removed the heads of chickens before pouring the bird's blood over the kneeling penitent's heads. Penitent. Wow.
Man,
the blood pumped from a still beating heart is the purest form of energy. Leviticus 17 says, the blood is the principle of human life, is the soul. Chief Shaman Enrique Verdon told the horrified crowd, "These animals have to die so that we can continue our spiritual work." No, the only person that had to die was Jesus Christ once and for all so that we can get into heaven. And we reject all these pictures that we're seeing in Jesus' name. St. Michael protect us as we continue with this article. Eddie?
Yeah, Jess, you know, one of the things that they have here is some of these teenage girls who have obviously have not been through a catechism program or some kind of confirmation program, but it's necessary because this is exactly what the Incas and the Mayas were doing back then. They were sacrificing virgins to the pagan gods, and this is what they continue to do. So that's what we said at the beginning of the show, just it's the same concept. It's the same concept of Christianity, but it's inverted. And that's why this is so dangerous for us, because it sounds familiar. It harkens us back to, oh, wait a minute, yeah, that must be this. That's why I learned, the statues of the Virgin Mary. That's why, let's get a statue of this. That's why it's so important for us to get the understanding that comes with the teaching of the Catholic Church that's called catechesis, and we have to do it.
Amen. Eddie, you want to continue the next? It says their blood will be offered up.
Yeah, their blood will be offered up to the dark powers, he said, shrouded by the thick smoke billowing out of the fiery altar over which the decapitated chickens were once held to bleed dry. We are calling upon Satan, the prince of the earth, to appear before us. The sacrifice of animals for display has been outlawed in the state of Veracruz, as we were talking about earlier. But it is nevertheless still widely practiced in the devil-worshipping communities of the rural areas where this ceremony takes place. There's little we can do to stop them. Arturo Bermudez Zaruta, the chief of police for Veracruz State, told the Mail Online in a telephone interview the next day. If these people want to make displays of cruelly murdering animals, they'll do it whether it's legal or not. I believe that. This sacred blood gives us the energy and spiritual power we need to make our black magic, said Enrique Verdon. He, as he cut the throat of the final sacrificial offering, a screaming goat whose blood was collected in a bronze jar to be passed around. We encourage our visitors to take this blood pumped from a still beating heart and rub it into their skin in the name of purity. Just,
Lord, have mercy on
that. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about in the name of purity, they're putting blood on their body, absorbing it into their body, the same way that Catholics absorb Jesus Christ, ingest Jesus Christ on Sunday Mass at Sunday Mass of the Eucharist. This is the most, probably the worst of the mockeries of Christ, this one here.
That's right. The next picture shows, it says, following the sacrifices, the shamans, which are basically the medicine men, witch doctors, stand before a large burning pentagram and attempt to summon the devil through their chants. Without a doubt, they're summoning the devil. And these people are perfectly possessed. Next picture, it has a shaman laying his hand on what they call penitence. Again, there's the whole thing. So they even realize the right hand over somebody's head is a symbol of authority. And they take that from Judaism and they take that from Christianity. And you can see a picture there. There's going to be complete demonic transference. Instead of transferring grace, a priest transfers grace to us when he lays his hand on our head. These shamans, they transfer curses and maledictions as they put their right hand on these low information people's heads.
Jesse, you know, that's the one thing we learned from Liber Christo, Jesse, is that we can't do that unless we have authority. And the only time we have authority is if you're ordained Catholic priest or you have a sacramental in your hand, a blessed crucifix, a rosary, something in your hand to touch the person that you're going to pray for. You'd be invoking the names of Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Michael. But you'd never touch them and say, I command the spirits to leave him. No, you would do it using a sacramental. This is what is wrong with the pictures that we're looking at here.
Yeah. It says here, in total, 8 animals are sacrificed during the ritual. Following the sacrifices, the shamans, which are witch doctors, medicine men, stood before a large burning pentagram and attempted to summon the devils through their chants. Look, and notice they chant, Eddie.
Yep.
That's, you know, imitating the Catholic chants.
Yep.
Before descending with the new adherents of the Black Mass to an underground cave decorated with inverted crosses, animal carcasses, and a large statue of Satan with, I can't say what, but there's a sexual imagery to the statue of Satan. It's horrible. The 8 shamans gathered round each individual penitent and swore oaths to the effect that their soul now belonged to Satan, and if their promises to the devil were not upheld, that their spirit would be forfeited. And they began yelling, Hail Lucifer, following each new oath, and prostrated themselves before the statue over which the remaining blood for the sacrificial offerings had been poured. Virgin most powerful, pray for us and protect us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Pray for us and protect us.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall-to-wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three. According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess and Eddie. We're talking about, Eddie, I'm not sure this is an annual gathering. The article didn't say. I'm gonna try to find out by doing some further research.
I think it did say it, Jess. It said it up above. It's an annual black mass that they held.
Oh, okay. So it's an annual gathering of satanic practitioners, and it draws people from around the world in a seacoast city called Catemaco, Veracruz, which is where the conquistadores landed and claimed the Americas for Christ. Eddie, you want to continue? You want to look at about some of the pictures there?
Yeah, sure, Jess. And you know, one of the things we talk about here is the similarity of posture. So this article has mentioned we talked about laying on of hands. It mentions being prostrated. It mentions bowing before other. Jess, it's not necessary that you know precisely exactly what's happening. If you just show up there from Italy, like one of these individuals had, and begin to do the bow and prostrate yourself, it's not necessary that you know precisely what's happening. What occurs, Jess, is that it gives the demons a right, because we learned that they're very legalistic. And so what happens, it gives the demons a right to enter into their life. And so, you know, after several years of things going wrong and these things are not working, then the demon during a deliverance or an exorcism, the demon says, I have a right to be here. I was invited here.
That's
so,
right.
Priest, you can't get rid of me. And ultimately, the priest is able to do that. But yeah, there's so many similarities. And, you know, one of the things here, Jess, is a picture of a guy holding a chicken upside down, draining his blood. I'm not sure where, but it is draining of blood. It shows a young teenage girl, one of the virgins they use during the ceremony, starting the ceremony off by lighting candles. You know, a path by which I guess all the occupants here, all the people that are doing this this occultist thing, start walking towards the altar area. And then it has a picture of Satan with this obscene thing in a cave, an underground cave, and you have a gathering of people that it's either worshiping Jess or looking at it or taking pictures of this statue
in a sexual position
in a certain condition that we won't mention.
Dark. It's really dark.
Yes, and what is the purpose for that? Just, I mean, there's no other purpose than to draw Satan out. And this is, again, in public, even though this particular thing was in a cave, it's in the public in Veracruz, and it's coming up to the United States, it's coming to the Southwest states, it's being implemented into areas such as MacArthur Park area in Los Angeles, where it's prevalent, Jess. And this is
San Fernando, Phoenix, Arizona, East yep. LA.
Yep. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Eddie, and one thing about this blasphemous satanic statue that looks like a, you know, like a Greek goddess.
Yes.
Life size. Yeah, life size. He's in front of a cross. Notice that?
Yeah, that's right. That's
again,
right.
Sheer black. And there's a bunch of young people that are fascinated as, it's a sexual image of Satan. It's horrible. And
I think the cross is inverted, Jess. It looks like an inverted cross.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, and that's
and what's the next bottom picture after that, Eddie?
The next one is the path where it's a lit path with candles that people are standing around. I guess they have a, like you said, just a procession where things where people come by and follow this path up to the evil altar that they have. And so,
I think there's a pentagram in the middle. That's what I could faintly see, a pentagram, a five pointed star.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. But
right?
yeah, that's right. But yeah, it's something just that these symbols mean something. You know, we learn about certain things in spiritual warfare, just and these what we call sigils are actually signs, you know, art signs that are actual numbers are actually, for example, a Sala number. It's the summoning a particular demon with some of these symbols, and that's what Catholics are not aware of. Just that's what we have not. That's why, most of the times when we're told, you know what, let's stay away from all this. Let's get away from this. People still trinkle in these things. You know, we had teens just at the retreat that were doing crystals, and their grandmother does this, and their mom sees a curandera, and these things are what's killing, are really destroying the Catholic culture in America.
Well, you can see any of these pictures. There's a bunch of young people there.
Yeah,
around this satanic, pictures. A pentagram, by the way, is a five-pointed star that is formed by a drawing a continuous line in five straight segments. And it's often used, you know, in the occult. It's often associated with evil or satanic forces. And people believe that they're summoning, that you can summon demons or the devil himself by using this pentagram. Eddie, what else does the article say? Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, so let's go to the other. It says, if you don't fulfill your promises to Satan, he will take everything away from you. Preach Jory Ra, as he wiped sacrificial blood from the statue onto the forehead of Alejandro Montes. He's the guy that's there with his wife because he was unfaithful and he wants to get a blessing from the devil. He says, you are taking on a serious dark curse. I feel terrified during the entire process, said Alejandro, who took soul-binding oath before the shamans and the devil statue that he would not be unfaithful to his wife again. But now that it's done, I feel strong, he says. I believe things will improve now. His wife, Gloria Espina, who we want to hear from, didn't want to be interviewed, Jess. She doesn't want to talk about his infidelity. She doesn't want to talk about what might happen in the future. I believe she felt like he did. He felt terrified during the process, but now he feels strong. Well, guess what? They're both going to be affected by what they did that day together as a couple. It says, the dedicated black masses by the devil-worshipping cult began in 1970, held on the first Friday of March. They have grown steadily in both notoriety and popularity over the subsequent 45 years.
Wow. Well, these people are damaged property, Eddie. It's the Bible says in the book of Hosea, my people perish. That means die for their lack of knowledge. It was talking about the Israelites, but it also refers to New Testament Catholics too, Catholic Christians. You will die spiritually and mortally if you don't know God. My people are dying for their lack of knowledge. So what can these people do to get to basically cut their ties with the devil? What they would have to do, they would have to seriously go in the opposite direction. They would have to seriously embrace a call to holiness, have a conversion to Christ. That's the first step to break the diabolical. Have a serious conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that, you can't even, that's getting you to basically to first base. And as Catholics, from that point on, now you got to pursue a life of serious prayer. I mean, like monastic prayer to break this. You got to go in the opposite direction of what you've done. And this is why a lot of people stay spiritually afflicted, because they haven't had that one moment where they say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. I'm done. That's called that interior conversion. Look at what an exorcist said 200 years ago about the importance of an interior conversion to break the diabolical. He wrote, this is Monsignor Leon Christiani. He was a French exorcist. He wrote this in the 18th century. He said this: one of the most urgent tasks of the exorcist is not only to cure the possessed person, but also to lead him towards holiness. there is nothing which can so surely diminish the power and dominion of Satan as the conversion of the victim. I mean, this is basic right here. These people have to have a powerful conversion of experience towards Christ. Then there would have to be ongoing catechesis. And here's where the Protestant model fails. The Protestant model just tries to heal the memories and heal the emotions. And that's good to a certain extent. You know, hey, you know, we're going to pray for you to heal your memories, heal your emotions. The Catholic model goes much deeper than the Protestant model. The Catholic model not only wants to heal your emotions, but in order for full liberation to take place, the Catholic model heals the soul. See, the Protestant model just heals the emotions. Oh, we'll pray for you. Feel better? Okay. We'll pray for you again. You feel better? Oh, okay. We'll pray. You feel better? Okay. Come back next week. The Catholic model is the healing of the soul through the sacraments. And once the soul is healed, then the emotions are healed. And this is why, once again, Protestant models just fall short of liberating people because they only touch upon the emotions, and the Catholic model heals the soul through a sacramental life. Eddie?
Jess, you know what? There's so many things that we can do as Catholics to assist in this way, okay? So we have, you know, praying for priests. Do we understand how essential praying for priests are? Because out of these priests that we have, the exorcists are born, right? So you have exorcists that begin. How many people, Jess, in the Southwest, how many Latinos, Mexicans specifically, are afflicted by demonic things going on in their home, and there's not enough priests to see them? Just every weekend for the past month and a half, I've been with a priest doing deliverances and exorcisms, prayer, after interviews with them, and they all got in trouble by doing silly things like this. Silly things like this. The power of confession, just this is how many of these are going to be dealt. You know, many of these demons will be cast out by the confessions. A good heartfelt confession with a good priest can solve a multitude of these issues. And so by not understanding that and not praying for priests, specifically exorcists, I think we contribute to the downfall of the society until Christ comes again, because sooner or later, Jess, we're going to need a Savior. We're not going to get out of this thing alive, and we're not going to get out of it on our own accord.
That's right. And I'll tell you, as a Catholic, you could talk to any exorcist that teaches on this topic. They'll tell you that 90% of the demons are driven away by the penitent or the victim entering into a serious life of prayer, like monastic prayer. Angelus 6, 12:6, Auxilium Christianorum prayers three times a day, morning, midday, and evening. 3 o'clock Divine Mercy, evening Rosary. By entering into a serious, what they call in football, Eddie, Hell Week. Okay,
that's right. Yes.
It's basically, we'll call this heaven. When you enter into a monastic prayer life, 90% of the demons will be driven out of your body. Very few can remain. And very few people actually need an exorcist if they would have the moral fortitude to enter into a monastic prayer life. And you can get the chart from LiberChristu.org. They got the chart there on how to enter into a monastic prayer life to drive out basically 90% of the demons that can afflict a human being. Eddie, take it away.
Yeah, Jess, you know what? We have to understand that self-deliverance is always possible according our prayer life. We have to do that. That's one of the recourses. Okay, that's it. That's a wrap. We'll stand by for Gary Mashuda on Hands-On Apologetics. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, pray for conversion, your own and others. Come back with us tomorrow. We'll be back. And God bless you. Have a great day.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, May the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.